Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We'll take up this message here in just a minute. Just want to give you a brief update of what is going on here in Africa. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we have a cloudy, cool morning this morning. It feels kind of like there might be a rain shower coming, and we'll see about that. We have 23 children now in the children's home, and most of them are in public school at Mayoni, a 10-minute walk from the children's home. And we're also praying about building a school out there in our neighborhood near the children's home. We'd love to have a Christian school out there. And so if you feel like you would like to boost the kingdom here in Africa, that would be a way that you could do it. Get involved in the project to build a school for the children at the children's home and other village children. And so that is a prayer need, a prayer item that we have right now. Also, we're making plans as I speak to go to Tanzania. We're going to be going down there about the 20th of February, and we're going to be doing a great crusade in Mbeya, way down in southern Tanzania. Mbeya is a city of about 300,000 or 400,000 people, and it is in the southern region of Tanzania near the Zambia border. And we're going to be doing a four-day crusade there with a worship leader, Bonnie Moitegi, one of the most famous worship leaders in Africa, in East Africa. And so we're looking forward to that. If you'd like to support this ministry, we still need some travel money to get to Mbeya. We're going to have to fly down there and take the COVID tests, both going out and coming in. And so we would like to raise a lot of travel money for the expenses involved. And so we're looking forward to that. So you can keep that in your prayers as you pray for this ministry. Well, today we're going to be talking about the second coming of the Lord. And of course, this is a great subject. It's something that we can all look forward to. It's something we can all watch for. And Jesus gives us plenty of hints about the second coming. Although he says, don't try to predict it. Don't try to predict the day or the hour. And so I would caution you before I start to speak about this message, I would caution you, don't waste your time trying to predict when Jesus is going to come back, the day or the hour or even the month or the year, because he says don't do it. He says only his Father in heaven knows that time. And so don't waste your time. And if you follow somebody who is predicting or trying to make predictions of the second coming of Jesus, unfollow them, quit following them, and just trust the Lord that he knows the right time, the day or the hour, and he doesn't need our advice on when to send his son, Jesus Christ. So in verse 36 of Matthew 24, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So the angels are not privy to this information. Jesus is not privy to this information, and we are certainly not. And so, again, don't try to predict. And, you know, over the course of time, many people have thought they had some special revelation and some insight into when Jesus was coming back. And so they've gathered a bunch of followers around them and maybe sold all their houses, all their cars, cashed in their bank accounts. I don't know what all, just a few years ago, this happened in California. And so don't waste your time. Don't waste your effort doing that. Be in prayer. Be watching. Be praying. Be about the Father's business. Occupy. We are all to occupy as we wait for the second coming of the Lord. So in verse 37, then Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. That in the days of Noah, they were similar days to what the coming of the Son of Man will be. And then he goes on to say in verse 38, for as in the days before the flood, or as in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. In other words, he's saying that the people were ignorant of the future. The people had no prophetic vision, even though Noah, the prophet, was telling them that the days are going to come to an end, that there's going to be a great rain, a great flood. Noah was telling that for 120 years before the flood actually came. And so the people were ignoring the prophets. The people were ignoring the good intention, the goodwill, the good words of Noah, who were coming from the Lord God. And so they were continuing to do what they had always done, which was to eat and drink, marry and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And when that time came, when Noah entered the ark, it was too late for them to make a change. It was too late for them to get right before the Lord because their fate and their judgment had already been sealed. Well, that is the situation that we see today. That is the situation that we have going on today. People are eating and drinking, they're marrying, and they're giving in marriage, and they're not paying attention to the prophets. The prophets are saying, get right before the Lord, get right, and get yourself in position for the flood to come. Get yourself in position for that last day to come. And yet they did not heed the prophets. They did not heed the word of the preachers. And so they're going to see the same kind of calamity. Those who ignore the call of Jesus Christ on their life, those who ignore the prophetic message on their life. The Lord says in Proverbs, those who have no vision, they have no prophetic vision. Where my people have no prophetic vision, they will perish. And so when you can't see the prophecies and you can't hear the prophecies over your life and you have no prophetic vision, you're going to perish. It's just that simple. So it says that the day that Noah entered the ark, and in verse 39, he did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at mill, one will be taken and the other left. And then he says in verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Then verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Well, let's look back to chapter 6 in Genesis, and it gives us some additional insight into what the days of Noah looked like. It says in verse 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Then verse 4 in Genesis 6 tells us this, there were giants, or the Nephilim, the fallen or mighty ones. These are fallen angels. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Well, what is he saying here? He's saying that when the fallen angels came to the earth, they saw the beautiful daughters of the daughters of men. They saw the beautiful daughters and they took them as wives for themselves, and of the offspring of those people, the fallen angels and the daughters of men, the offspring were the giants on the earth, these Nephilim. And these were the giants that the children of Israel encountered in the promised land These were the giants. You've all heard of Goliath, David and Goliath. Well, there was other giants. Og of Bashan was a giant king, and many others. Goliath had many brothers, and they were all recorded in the Bible, their size, the size of their bed, the size of their spears. If you read through the Old Testament many times, the Nephilim or the giants are recorded in battles. They're recorded as kings who came out to fight the children of Israel. And so the sons of God, these are the fallen angels. That's what is spoken of here in this passage of Scripture. So what we see is a perversion going on of God's plan. God's plan was that Adam and Eve would walk in the garden, they would have children, multiply and replenish the earth, and the seed of Adam and Eve would be the children of God, and they would have the blessings that God would bestow upon them. They would have the blessings of being in the garden and multiplying on the face of the earth. And so this conjugal union between the sons of God and the daughters of men produced these evil giants, which was a perversion of God's plan, a perversion of God's will on the face of the earth. And so in verse 5, we take this up in verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Well, now you're starting to understand what Jesus meant when he said that the coming of the Son of Man, the second coming of the Son of Man, will be just like as in the days of Noah. And so we see, we look around our place that we live now, we look around the USA, we look around other countries of the world, and we start to envision, we start to visualize that Jesus had the right idea, that he knew what he was talking about when he said that the second coming of himself, that the coming of the Son of God will be just like as in the days of Noah. Because here it says that in the days of Noah, that the man was very wicked. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And verse 6, then this is the culmination of the wickedness of man as he was here on the earth. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Well, beloved, God has emotions. God has a spirit, a soul, and a body just like we do. He is a God that has eyes, he has hands, he has a heart, and he has emotions. And it says here that the Lord God was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Well, the Bible tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, we can quench the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit. And now here it tells us that man has also grieved the Lord God in his heart, Father God. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. And so twice he talks about he is sorry that he has made man. And beloved, that was not God's plan. That was not God's plan. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He put Adam and Eve in the garden so that they could enjoy the trees of the garden. And he gave them every tree to enjoy except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He did not want them to know about evil. He did not want them to give in to evil, to agree with evil. He wanted them to agree with the other trees and the blessings that God had for them. And so the other trees represent the blessings and God's plan, and God's plan for your life as well. God's plan for your life is a plan of blessings. It's a plan of prosperity. It's a plan of walking under an open heaven. That is God's plan for your life as well. But Noah was the only person, and his family was the only person at this time in Genesis, at this time in man's history. Noah and his family were the only people that found grace. In other words, they found grace, and they were blameless in the sight of God. That doesn't mean that they were perfect, but they were blameless. That is, they walked according to the Lord's plan for their life. They walked according to the Lord's commandments. And so Noah found grace. God's grace was poured out on Noah, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, let's jump down to verse 11 here. And it says that the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. He's talking about the physical earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And so that corruption led to this race of giants that had permeated through all the people of the earth. This race of giants, it wasn't just a few isolated giants like Goliath and his family. It wasn't just a few isolated ones. When Moses sent the spies into the promised land to look at the promised land, to look to see where they were going and look to see what kind of a land they were going to be going into, they came back and they said, "This land is full of giants. It's just full of giants. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight." And so you remember that 10 of the spies that went in, they brought this bad report, they brought this evil report, and they said, "We can't take this land. It's not possible for us to do it." And there was only 2 spies that gave a good report and gave an encouraging report. And that was Caleb and Joshua, the same Joshua who took the children of Israel across the Jordan River 40 some years later. They crossed the Jordan River and they went into the promised land, and they were led by Joshua. And the first battle that they had after they went into the promised land was the Battle of Jericho. And so Caleb and Joshua, even though they saw the giants, even though they saw the land that was filled with the giants, they came back and they said, "We can take this land. We are capable of defeating these giants by God's will, because it is God's plan, and God's power and his strength will allow us to take the giants, to take them captive, and to kill them, and this land will be ours." Well, beloved, that is a lesson for us today, that even though we have giants, every one of us has giants in our land, every one of us has places that we are called to go. Every one of us has things that we are called to do. And the giants are there waiting for us to try to defeat us. The giants are there to try to defeat the good plans of God in your life. And I say to you today, when you speak to those giants, speak to them through the power of God, speak to them through the blood of Jesus, that you can take that land, that you can take those giants, that you can move those giants out of that way, and your word, you can speak to them and speak to that mountain and say, "Mountain, move, giants, move, devil, go, in the name of Jesus," and the Lord will deliver you from the evil plans of the enemy and the giants in your life. So when God saw that all the earth was corrupted and it was filled with violence and filled with wickedness, he said to Noah in verse 13, and God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." In other words, God pronounced judgment on all the earth. He pronounced judgment on them, and he said, "I'm going to destroy them because there is no redemption for them. The earth is polluted with violence. The earth is polluted with wickedness." And so he kept Noah aside and his family, who had found grace in the eyes of God, he kept them aside and he saved them through the building of the ark. Well, this is a picture of salvation. The ark is now Jesus Christ. The corruption on the earth is all over the earth. The corruption is reaching a higher and higher level. Deep darkness covers the earth, and it's reaching a higher level every single day. Beloved, you need to get in the ark. Beloved, the only hope for you is to get in the ark of Jesus Christ, to confess your sins, to repent of your transgressions, to repent of your sins and get in the ark. Let the blood of Jesus cover you, and it will save you from the condemnation, from the judgment, and from the flood of wickedness, save you from the flood that is going to cover the whole earth and destroy the earth. Eventually, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and only those who are with Jesus Christ, only those who have confessed his name and taken refuge in the shadow of his wings, those are the people that are going to be rescued. Those are the people that are going to be in the ark, and they shall be saved. All those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And you're going to find yourself in a situation, if you do not come to the Lord Jesus, you're going to be finding yourself in a situation where the flood of God's judgment is going to come upon you, and you will have no redemption. There will not be time then for you to make a decision. Well, that's what Jesus meant when he said, just as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of Son of Man be. And so he was talking, first of all, about the rapture. Although people do live after the rapture, people who don't go in the rapture continue to live on the earth during the tribulation. And so they have another opportunity to be saved. They have another opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. But then those of who come back with the Lord for the millennial reign, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, after the rapture and the marriage supper of the Lamb, those who come back with the Lord will live and rule and reign with Jesus during the millennial reign for 1,000 years. And then a new heaven and a new earth shall come down. And all of those who have called upon the name of the Lord, they shall be living and ruling and reigning with Jesus for all eternity. Well, Jesus gives us plenty of warning. We have plenty of time, just as the people in Noah's day had 120 years. Noah began to prophesy to them, and he told them for 120 years, you need to get right, you need to listen to the word of the Lord, you need to listen to the prophetic word. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Where there is no prophetic vision, my people perish. Well, the Lord is giving people time today. He's giving people time to hear the words spoken on the radio, to hear the words spoken on the TV. He's saying that the heavens themselves declare the glory of God. And so there's many ways that people are getting the message. The question for you today is, are you responding to the message? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? If you do, say yes to that and confess and repent. Get right before the Lord. Get down on your knees and repent of your sins and say, yes, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to keep your commandments. And as you do that, the Lord will be faithful and true then to save you. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I urge you, if you're not in a church, get in a good Bible-believing church and start to study with other people. Start to read your Bible. Start to study with other like-minded Christians. Follow it up with Christian baptism, immersion baptism, and you will be saved. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, beloved, this is a message of warning. It's a message that Jesus gave, and so I delight in giving it to you today. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We appreciate all of those who have supported us and prayed for us over the years. We appreciate all those who have linked arms and hands with us as we go across the world to preach the gospel, to preach crusades in Africa, and the other projects that we have going on in Africa and the radio broadcast in America. And so I invite you to partner with us. You can do that today. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, jot us out a note, and make out a contribution to Gather the Outcast Ministry. All of the contributions, all the donations are tax exempt because we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And so if you do that today, you will be blessed, we will be blessed, and the gospel will go forward as God gives us the urgency and the mission field in which to preach the word. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.